We're starting a new series this morning called Deeper Life and Mission. And it's going to be interesting because, to be honest with you, you get to go on a little bit of a journey with me. This is, I've had opportunities to speak at church a lot, you know, throughout the years of ministry. My last time I spoke and gave a sermon was over Easter. And this is the first time where it's like, oh, Brian, you're coming up with like the next series of talks or the next, you know, what are we going to talk about? And I'm like, okay, let's dive in. And I was excited because I'm like, let's go big. Like, we're going to talk about the core of what it means to be a Christ follower, which is a deeper life and mission. And it was a big swing. And honestly, it's also this idea of a deeper life and mission is a thing that I'm wrestling with in my own spiritual life. This is new for me. So to sit here and say like, oh, I'm going to preach on this, is a little intimidating. And actually what happened was, is I've written, I think I'm up to 4 talks, separate talks, completely different over this last week, where I literally finished a talk, wrote it, thought it was really good, and I went to Julie all excited, and I said, hey, hon, what do you think? And she just looked at me, and she just stared, and she blinked, and she's like, huh. I'm like, uh-oh. I was feeling good about myself. I'm not now. And okay, let me try again. And I literally rewrote a talk, completely different passages, different themes. I'm like, yep, that missed the mark. I get it. I'm going to do another one. 3 talks later, Julie's looking at me. Okay, there's something missing here. Her question to me kept coming back to, how has the idea of deeper life changed you? How has this idea of wanting to live a deeper life in Christ impacted you? Okay. To give you a little bit of a idea of this idea of what deeper life is, it really actually, the deeper life and mission is a movement that started with our church family. As a church family, we're part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. It was founded by a guy named A.B. Simpson back in the late 1800s. A.B. Simpson was a Presbyterian pastor who was in Canada, and he made the smart move to leave Canada. Kevin disappeared. Kevin's Canadian. But he was in Canada as a Presbyterian pastor, grew up in a small town, small farm, and he just had a heart for Jesus, and he had a heart to preach, and he was a good preacher. And as he started his ministry as a pastor, he started feeling a pull towards the unreached people, the people who had never heard the gospel before. And so he went to his denomination, his leaders, and he said, hey, I want to go to China. And they're like, we don't send people to China. AB, like, that's not a thing. We don't do missions. And they go, how about you go to New York? And he goes, there's a lot of immigrants moving into New York. There's a lot of people that don't know the good news of Jesus. He's like, okay. So he took a pastorate in New York at a Presbyterian church in Greenwich Village, making really good money as a pastor, but his heart was for the lost. And so he was bringing people to Christ. And one day he shows up at his doorstep with, at his church doorstep with over 200 people that have been saved, that are wanting to walk through the doors of this church. And the response of the church was, hey, AB, love what you're doing. Really, really great. But they don't really fit here. At that time, the Presbyterian Church, especially in more affluent neighborhoods, there was a thing where you had to, you bought your pew. I don't know if you've ever heard that term before, but you literally, depending on how much money you gave each year, you got a better seat in the church. And so the closer you were, or the sweet spots of the building, that was the bigger donors. So to see a bunch of immigrants who are poor, marginalized people in society looked down upon, especially the Italian community in that time, they were rejected by the church. It's like, great, you're saving them. They need Jesus. They just need to do it somewhere else. I feel it. I think you guys feel it. Like, my heart breaks for that. Simpson's heart broke. He's like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. And so he left that church. And he's like, I'm not going to start a church. I'm just going to go do this ministry. And that's what he was doing. But in all of this season of his life, the motivator, the thing that was kind of moving him, was this idea that he wanted to experience life transformation. He recognized that it's not just about knowledge. It's not just about knowing who Jesus is. It's not just about knowing Scripture or the Bible, but it's actually like experiencing it and feeling it, and there's power in it. And when you start to lean in, amazing things happen. And as the church grew, that he was not trying to lead, but it became a movement, from a movement to a denomination and to churches, to now a global movement that has impacted millions and millions and millions of people. It was out of this desire to say, I want to experience something more, something deeper. He often said it's the word of God. As the word of God goes deeper in us, the word of God flows more broadly from us. He looked at the Bible as, this is the word that as we understand this, as we take this in, it all points to this idea that we are called to go deeper in our relationship. It all points to Christ too. I don't know if you've caught that yet, but it begins and ends with Jesus. And that was Simpson's heart. And I was trying to do this in one talk where I was going to explain all of this deeper life. It's why it was challenging. Simpson made this statement, and I love it. He said, beloved, this is God's message to us today. Go deeper. Perhaps you have exhausted all the store of truth and experience that you have so far found. Give up trying to spread to wider fields and sink to deeper depths, and you will find new and undiscovered riches. And the depths will lead you to the heights, and the depth to the life of the risen Christ and the fullness of his ascension power. We have received the Spirit that is of God, that we might know the things, and then know that they are freely given us of God. Shall we meet the light? Shall we accept the love? Shall we go deeper? As he spent time going to the vine, going to Jesus, spent time just with Jesus, the richness of his relationship with Jesus grew. There was a deepness, an experiential thing that was happening. And in that season of his life, he began to experience a freshness of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that started. There's this great thing that happens when we accept Jesus Christ into our heart. It's not just a one and done thing where we've done that and so now we're on our own to kind of figure out life. We're given this promise that when we accept Jesus into our heart, we're given the Holy Spirit. And it kind of plants as a seed in us, that when you think about a plant that's growing, and the more we water, the more we invest, the more we watch it, it starts to grow inside of us. And it builds and it gets bigger and it changes us from the inside out. That's what Simpson was desiring for us when he says, go deeper. That's what I desire for us as a church, is that we go deeper. And I think, like, part of my struggle as I was trying to write this talk is that I was trying to, not only sum all this up, but I was trying to find passages or find a story, like a singular story that was going to, like, capture this heart of going deeper, of experiencing God, of being led by the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. And it was almost impossible, because that is what the Bible, that's all the stories. And what I came to the conclusion was, one, I don't know where we're going with this series yet. And I think that's okay. Two, what captured some of my heart was hearing Simpson's heart, was hearing other people's experiences, was understanding that it isn't just words. It isn't just a head knowledge. It isn't just something that we, quite honestly for myself, kind of take for granted. But it is a daily surrendering to the idea and the beauty of what it means to be in Jesus Christ and for Jesus Christ to be in me. That's what it means to go deeper. And I think as we hear each other's stories, we all have a story. We all have experiences where we've encountered, or maybe we've questioned, even in our questioning and our doubts, and those moments when we're like, man, Jesus isn't for me, that resonates to a lot of us. If you're sitting here and you're going, man, I just don't have, I don't get this God thing. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, you're not alone in that. Because even the strongest Christians I know have all experienced times when they go, man, this is hard. But it's when we're telling stories together. It's when we're sharing. I have a friend who planted a church in Hawaii. And rough, right? Like, he planted a beach church in Hawaii. When he told me he was doing that, I was like, a beach church, right? And he planted a beach church in Hawaii. And I asked him, so what does beach church look like? And it was literally on Waikiki Beach, so one of the busiest touristy places on the planet. And what he would do is him and his family and his extended family and that family and that family, the families would come together, his aunties and uncles, and they come together, they worship the Creator, they worship Jesus, and then they just talk story. He's like, we talk story. I'm like, I like that. It's in story that we hear vision, that we're challenged. When we hear stories of how God's at work, we start to, it's like, oh, if God can do that for them, maybe God can do that for me. So I'm going to wrap up our time trying to give you the Reader's Digest version of my story. Because I am on this journey with us of trying to discover what it means to have a deeper life in Christ. And it's led me to this moment of being called to serve this community and to step into this role. And so I want to share that with you. You know, 4 years ago, roughly, a little over 4 years ago, I was sitting in the office of Monty, who's our district superintendent. He's in charge of all of our churches in the Northwest. And him and I had been building a relationship. And so I was just hanging out in his office. And I said, hey, Monty, feeling like God is telling me that I'm supposed to go back to church ministry. So I'd never left being a part of a church, but I had stopped serving in church as far as like a full-time job or a job. The reason for that was, to rewind a little bit, is, you know, I graduated college in 2001 and went right into full-time ministry. Before that, I had been an intern. I had served on leadership teams. I had been working in churches basically since I was in high school. And I get to 2001, I graduated Bible college, I've got my degree, I know my career path, and so I jump into full-time ministry. And I'm a youth pastor building up a program that's from the ground up. We had, I think, at that point, like maybe 8 or 9 junior hires. By the time we left in 2005, there was 150 middle school, high school, and college age students that were participating on a weekly basis in our ministry. I was getting opportunities in that season of life to preach, to be on stage, getting to lead other leaders, getting to develop ministries that hadn't existed before. Took an insane trip to Mexico at the end of that run. You can ask Kevin Williams about that one. Might have gotten arrested as a youth leader. But I didn't get arrested, but we thought we were. But God was at work. God was doing really amazing things. And it led to actually coming to this space, to this building, transitioned to a time where I got to be a part of the launch of Compass Church, which was the previous church here. God was on staff here. Again, God just showed up doing amazing things. He was using my gifts and the abilities that he gave me to serve the church. On the outside, it looked awesome. Man, church is growing. Ministries are growing. I remember preaching and it come off stage. People like, oh, that was so good, Brian. And I'm like, yeah, it was. I'm awesome. Might be sensing there's maybe an issue there. Then there was a season where all of the staff at church here were coming off. We were 50-50. 50% of our salary came from the church and 50% came from outside sources. So we were raising our own support. We were all kind of coming off at the same time. Same time, the economy crashed. Same time, the people that owned our building at the time decided to start charging us $3,000 a month in rent. While God was providing people, God was not providing those kinds of funds. I was the kind of the low man on the chopping block. So I lost my job. Didn't think anything about it. I'm like, hey, no big deal. It's church. It's ministry. It happens. It's a church plant. That's what happens. You pastors come and go. No big deal. I was actually right in the middle, and some of you guys have heard some of this story. I was right in the middle of ordination. I was actually literally just the only thing I had left in my ordination to be basically accredited by the denomination as a pastor was my interview. It was a panel interview. It takes about 3 hours of sitting in front of a panel of people who are judging every word you say to see if it lines up with Scripture, and they decide whether or not you are actually fit to be a pastor in the Christian Missionary Alliance. So I leave Compass. I move, or I'm like, you know what? No big deal. God's got this. I've got this. Going to get my ordination done. I'm going to move on to the next church. It's going to be awesome. God's got big things planned. I get to the ordination. Doing pretty well in it. The This one's hard. This is hard to talk about because it's pretty vulnerable. They'd ask questions about, you know, hey, tell me about your spiritual life. Tell me about your background. How did you come to Christ? You know, what are you passionate about? All went really well. It was about 20, 30 minutes. Then one of the guys looks at me and he goes, hey, tell me about Jesus. My response was, Jesus is a good guy. I don't know. What do you want to know about Jesus? And he looks at me and he's like, just tell me about Jesus. Okay. He's a good guy. And they look at me and they go, anything else? And I'm like, I don't know. One of the guys leans over and he goes, you can use your Bible. And I go, oh yeah, yeah. And he goes, start in Isaiah. And I'm like, okay, I grab my Bible. And I look at it for a second and I'm like, where is Isaiah? Is that in the Bible? And I go to open the Bible, and I can't read it. The words were gibberish. It was in a foreign language. My handwritten notes on the side and the margins looked like someone else's writing that was backwards, and the letters didn't make sense. And I just literally was doing this. Like, yeah, table of contents is usually in the front, Isaiah, and I remember the coaching I got right before I went to the interview was, hey, if you get to a point in the interview when they say, you know, why don't we take a break, just know that things aren't going well, and you're probably not gonna move forward. They say, so I'm fumbling, struggling, they're trying to try a little bit more that way, you know, and I'm not there. And then he goes, you know, hey, why don't we take a break? I'm like, yes, please. And I was out. Like, and I went on a bench and I broke down because I'm like, it's over. This is my whole life. Everything I've worked for, again, maybe you're hearing a theme. Everything I worked for, everything that I know about myself, what I'm called to do has just been crushed. Where do I go from here? It led me to a season that I affectionately now call wandering in the desert. It wasn't so fun. If you ever read the story of the Israelites wandering in the desert, there's a lot of grumbling that happens. There's a lot of, like, even when God is providing, that you still sit there and go, this still sucks, God, sorry. You know, like, why are we here? Can we go back to Egypt? You know, like, it was way better there. Like, I was in that season. And God was gentle. He met me there. He met me through counseling, through spiritual direction, through just time and space away from being in church ministry. Getting to go to church and just participate was really cool. Like, but that was that season. So kind of catch you back up. In that season, I started to recognize that my identity isn't found in what I do, and the things that I do, in my job. And when I was placing my identity in my job, I was finding that, man, it was very much dependent on me, and God didn't really matter as much. And that's not a very healthy balance there. And no wonder I needed this break, this pause. But it was in that season too where God showed up. I would get glimpses of peace and joy. There was times where he was restoring hope where I was experiencing like this freedom of like, I can just be with you, God. I can just hang out. I remember there was a pretty dark season for Julie and I where you know, we had lost just close family and people that meant a lot to us. And, you know, you start to sit there and you're going through those low points. You're just like, is there any hope? Like, why am I doing this? Why am I trying so hard? It would be so much easier. One of those moments is when we found out that we were having Megan, our daughter, after 12 years of trying. God was meeting me in those moments of darkness. God was meeting me in those seasons of dryness. And he was inviting me into a different relationship with him. And I didn't know it at the time that that was a deeper life. Like, all I knew is I was in crisis. So back to the 4 years ago, and I'll wrap this one up. 4 years ago, I'm sitting in Monty's office, and Monty challenges me because he goes, Brian, he goes, why aren't you ordained? He goes, I think it would be good for you to get ordained. He goes, I don't think, and it's not because you need to be affirmed that you're called to ministry. He goes, you're already called. He goes, you already know who you are in your relationship with God. He goes, but one, he goes, I think it'd just be good for you to kind of like, it's like the restoration story of, you know, like this is what was broken and then here's the completion. It's the peace, kind of making peace with a past kind of wound being restored. He goes, also, I just think it would be good for you to spend time with God. And he goes, it's going to be pretty intense to go through ordination, to have to finish that process, to work through the doctrine, to work through those pieces, to get in an interview. He goes, I think it'd be good for you. He was right. Like, it was in that I was like, okay, that's affirming. Take it a step further. When part of my struggle with the call to with God saying, hey, I want you back in church ministry, I want you to be serving in the church in a deeper way, was I was like, if I do it the way I did it before, which was in my own self, I'm gonna fail. Like, it's just not going to go well, because I'm going to end up in the exact same place where I'm living this dualistic thing. Here's Brian, the pastor, and then here's Brian, the broken, lost, scared, you know, angry. And I'm like, it has to come from a place where God is not only the center, but he's leading. It has to be led by the Spirit. And honestly, the ordination process was a key part in this, because one of the key doctrines of our denomination is, who is Jesus? Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one who died on the cross for our sins, who brought us back into relationship with God. Jesus is our sanctifier. He's the one that takes us from where we're at and restores us back to that right, not only the right relationship with God, but he brings us back to the fullness of what we were designed and created to be in the very beginning, to his original intent. He's the sanctifier. Jesus is the healer. He's the one who empowers who gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us to heal people physically, emotionally, spiritually. We've seen it in our church where God has healed brokenness. God has healed physical pain. God has healed emotional pain and spiritual pain. He is our healer. He is also our coming King. He is the God who rules over everything, and we live in anticipation for the day when he will return. That is the God that we follow. That is the God that we need to be falling in love with. That is the God that we're called to live a deeper life with. And I, all these years of knowing the truth, knowing the word, spending time in ministry, God still using me despite myself, wasn't experiencing the fullness of who Jesus Christ is. And so I started this journey of going, I want more. I believe that the Holy Spirit isn't just for what happened back when we were writing the Bible and the early church. The Holy Spirit is for now. I believe the fullness of the power of the Spirit is something that we can experience today. And instead of going to God last, when we're at the end and we don't have anything left in us, we have no strength in us, we have nothing, and we're just like, I have nowhere else to turn, so I guess I'll turn to God. We start turning to God first because we fully believe that God is not only able, but he will restore us. That he has the power to heal us. That he has the power to change our life. And that we can experience and live differently because of it. I got to be a part of a training where I got to go to Orlando and with a bunch of church leaders who are working with church health. And that's what we were there for, is like we're coaching churches on how to be healthier churches. What I didn't anticipate is that in one of our sessions, we started talking about the Holy Spirit. About the presence of the Holy Spirit, not only as an anchor in us that dwells in us, the Holy Spirit that from the time that we accept Christ and is changing us from the inside out, that's giving us the insight and wisdom and guidance and leading us, but also the Holy Spirit who empowers us, who gives us gifts to be able to heal, to be able to care for others, to love others, to be patient, to be able to serve. And they were praying, they were going to do a time of prayer, and they just invited people, hey, if you want to experience the Holy Spirit in a new way, come up. And I remember as we were leading to it, I'm like, I'm not, you know, this is really interesting, and I feel like I need to know more. Need to know more. And so that's what I was going to do. I'm going to know more first, and then, you know, maybe. And then there's just this gentle tug. You need to go up. So I went up. And I ended up in front of Steve Fowler, who is part of our denomination, and he's been here preaching. And he just says, his simple question, what do you want Jesus to do for you today? I just said, I just want to experience him in a new way. Steve started praying. One of the first times in my life where I can honestly say I was experiencing something new inside of my heart and my very being. Steve was praying things that I had never told him. We've spent a lot of time together, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit. Like I was telling him, I'm wrestling with this. This is new for me to say I want to be led by the Spirit. I want to be filled by the Spirit. I want to experience the full power of the Holy Spirit. That's dangerous. I can't control that. And so, and as he's praying, I'm like, oh, you're speaking to me and you're saying things about my identity, about who I am that no one else knows except for God. Okay, God, I want more of this. I'll do this again. And so then, fast forward to 9 months ago. We're launching Main Street Church. Super exciting season. I'm excited for it because, I got to partner with a friend, get to do ministry together. I'm excited for the vision. I'm excited we're moving forward finally. It had been a long time coming, and we're launching. And I remember going, I just don't know what my role is at Main Street. I'm going to support it. I believe in the vision. I believe in the mission. But I'm just not sure what my role is. I get this opportunity to go on a pilgrimage to New York. Fancy term for just getting to go sightseeing. But I got to go walk in the footsteps of A.B. Simpson. I got to see firsthand the church on 13th Street in Greenwich Village Presbyterian that he left to go serve the marginalized people and the people that were coming into our country. I got to see the healing homes that Simpson was creating, where they were caring for people both for their physical needs, their spiritual needs, their emotional needs, where lives were being impacted and changed. Pretty powerful. During that journey, one of the things that we were doing was getting an opportunity to hear, you know, the story of Simpson. One of the professors of the Alliance Theological Seminary was leading kind of a couple classes. But he also started talking about the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, about the presence of Jesus, of God in you, the indwelling of the Spirit. Started talking about the filling of the Spirit, being Spirit-led, encountering the Spirit. And I was like, I'm still wrestling with this. I still don't understand it fully. I do want it. I want to experience it. But I was a little checked out. I was actually kind of thinking about a past vision I had of being alongside Jesus, but not knowing what that meant. And he's like, hey, I'm going to pray for all of us. And I'm like, I hope we don't break into groups and I have to share a story or talk, you know, ask for anything. I'm like, I just want to just kind of fade into the background. And I stand up and I'm standing there and he's praying over our team for a fresh filling experience with encounter with the Holy Spirit. And as he's praying, I'm just, you know, yeah, okay, God, you know, I'm here. Not really comfortable, and I don't really feel it. And before I know it, he's standing in front of me, the guy that's praying. And he starts to pray, and he says, I'm sensing a word from God to you. Okay. See what happens. He goes, as he starts praying, he just goes into, it's as if the voice of God is speaking through him, which he was. And he's affirming who I am. Apart from what I do, my relationship with him is right and secure. I know that I'm his child. And he makes an interesting statement. He says, I'm also releasing you from all the past hurt from other leaders, from the pain that you've experienced. He goes a step further. He says, I'm inviting you into a new work. You're free to start a new work. You're going to do it with joyful confidence. I remember coming back, talking to Jason, because him and I were kind of discerning what my role was going to be. Jason goes, are you leaving Main Street? Oh, I don't think so. Little did I know that God was revealing to me that, like, I want you to experience the fullness of what it means to be with me. I didn't know what he was inviting me into, but he was inviting me to say yes to him. Yes to the idea that there is something deeper about my relationship. He was inviting me to just be open to the idea that God can move, not only in me, but in the people around me. I don't know how much of a Reader's Digest version of this story that was. But I'm still in process. honestly, this week I felt pretty much like I'm failing, because I was just like, I can't get this dumb talk. And I'm trying real hard. For me, performance has been linked to my identity. What I do is what I think is right and good. God has been meeting me in that. I started saying this to myself, and I wrote it down, and I have it on my phone. I have it a lot of places, but performance drains, faithfulness sustains. Our stories are all different. God wants to meet you in your story. God wants to reveal to you the thing that he's calling you to. He wants you to experience the fullness of what it looks like to just love Jesus. I'm going to invite the worship team up. I hope what you hear is that a deeper life isn't a head knowledge. It isn't a one-time thing. It's not about doing more. I think we get caught up. That was part of my struggle even with this sermon is that I was trying to like put things into a neat, here's a two-step, three-step process thing that you can do to have a deeper life with God. It's not a prescription. It's personal. It's how you personally engage the fullness of who Jesus Christ is in your own life. You know, John 15:5 talks about the abiding in the Father, or in the vine, that vine analogy. We're attached. We're connected. The more we draw from the vine, the sweeter the fruit, the sweeter what is produced from it. As we go to communion, I just want to invite you to take a minute to just think about, are you open to experiencing God in a deeper way? Maybe it's for the first time. Maybe you're like me when I was in Orlando and you're sitting here going, it seemed really good for the early church to ask for the power of the Holy Spirit. That feels very scary. Take that to God. Challenge him in that. One of the things that Simpson used to do is he struggled with a theology, and he would sit there and go, okay, I'm going to take what I'm struggling with. I'm going to go out into the woods with my Bible, and I'm going to wrestle with God through this. I'm going to let God figure it out with me. Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you just need to say, okay, God, I don't know what this means, but I'm willing to go on the journey. Maybe for you, there's just something that God is bringing up right now that you need to let go of. Could be performance. Could be some of your identity. It could be a hurt that you're holding on to. That God's saying, I want to meet you in that. Coming to the communion table isn't just something that we do. It's coming before Christ and recognizing the transformational power that comes from what Christ did on the cross for us. That we are no longer bound by this world, and we're free to experience a deeper life and power that the Holy Spirit brings because of Christ's death and resurrection. As you come to the table, you take the bread and you dip it in the juice. You use it as an opportunity to invite the Holy Spirit into the depths of your life, to change you from the inside out. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for this journey. So often, Father, we're focused on the destination, but the destination is secure. The destination is relationship with you, eternity with you. You're more concerned about the journey. You want to meet us where we are. Lord, I just pray that as a church, Lord, selfishly, I just pray this for myself, that I and that we would experience a fresh encounter with your Holy Spirit.